So the first thing to realize about abusive relationships is that we do not have the ability to avoid. If we think about cognitive dissonance and the story I've just told, we have two choices when we're presented with very challenging, conflicting ideas and beliefs in our mind. The challenging belief we face as we enter these relationships is that we are the blame, we are the cause of the abuse that's happening to us. We are being hit, insulted, controlled, sexually attacked, and we are being informed, we are having a belief fed to us that this is our fault. And we cannot avoid this. There is no ability to shut down and only see positive stories. We are being fed this narrative with force. The campaign of abuse brings this message to us repeatedly. We are to blame. It is our fault. We are worthless. We are causing the behavior. We're creating distress. Humans cannot hold two opposing beliefs in our minds. If we try to do this, it is incredibly stressful for us. Our brains are designed to remove a belief, to leave us with one worldview. And as I've said, it does that by either avoiding and rejecting any of the ideas that create this new belief, or it rationalizes, it creates an understanding of how the story makes sense by rejecting one of the stories through a rational lens, by analyzing the data, by looking at the world and arriving at what we think is rational. So we don't have the ability to avoid. We have two beliefs in our head. One is we are to blame. The other belief might be we're not to blame. And all we have is rationalization. That's the only way we can make sense of the world. We have to look at these two ideas. One side, we have got worth and we are not to blame, and our partner is to blame. And the other side of the coin, we don't have worth, or we are causing this, we are to blame, and our partner has no control, etc., etc. And in this journey into these relationships where we have to make sense of the experience, we don't really have much choice over the direction we take when we rationalize. As I've said, there will be people who in that moment will have avoided. They will have left the relationship. They'll have recognized this is wrong and they'll have avoided it, got out. And their belief system that they are valuable and that they don't deserve abuse will have been supported. They will have escaped, and they will once again be comfortable in a single belief in their head that they're free and they should not be abused. But for some of us, that's more complicated because we may already lack some self-worth. We may already struggle to know what we are worth. And so we're looking for evidence of that in the relationship. And previously, we've already made sense of the fact that we feel love because this person loves us. They're right for us. We've rationalized that. And as the story of Sam and Tony showed us, we've also started to rationalize why this person becomes upset and why abuse appears. So not only are we trying to rationalize the story, we're doing it in a situation in which we are being groomed. We are being told the story. We are being told the rationalization. And we're being told with force. If we don't believe it, if we argue against it, if we resist it, if we fight it, the abuse, the campaign of abuse, will likely be more extreme. And we're learning this quickly. Many of the abusive behaviors that we talked about earlier, they start to come into play here. They serve to make it even more complex to understand the truth and really support us in rationalizing that the situation we're in is as how our partner describes it. It's not how we might see it ourselves. We're regularly told that what we experience or what we think is wrong, it did not happen, through behaviours such as gaslighting. We lose the ability to predict and to understand what's happening as our partner keeps rapidly shifting through this cycle of love and hate, anger and calm, rejection and adoration. It's hard for us to start understanding the story of what's happening, and so we have to start listening, getting that story from our partner. Gaslighting, humiliation, insults, attacks, it all chips away at our confidence in being able to understand that we might be right. Because we're experiencing ourselves being denigrated and punished and pushed down by the person we love. And so we have to make sense of this quickly. Humans do not like to sit in this position for very long. It happens at lightning speed and it happens again and again, and it's reinforced over time. And inside ourselves, we may experience an inner storm of conflict. how can the person I love also be the person who abuses me? Or how can I be so difficult to live with that I create uncontrollable rage in my partner that damages both of us? And in this storm, our partner provides us with the solution, the key out of the inner turmoil. And recognizing this is happening inside us, this conflict, we need an answer so that we can become psychologically calm, psychologically at peace, and understand the world and the rationalization we're given, as though it's our fault. We're the cause of the problem. Their response is because of our behavior, and they're out of control. And as odd as that might sound to our confused, conflicted, and chaotic brains, it is an answer. And so we take it, we believe it, and the conflict disappears inside us. This can be very challenging to make sense of. How can we arrive at an understanding that we're causing a person to abuse us as a form of coping? That doesn't make sense. Why would the brain cope by accepting we're causing our own abuse? But try to notice that cognitive dissonance is not a coping system that's trying to get the best thing for us in our life. It's a coping system that's trying to reduce the amount of stress and effort we have around our thinking to help us make sense of the world as quickly as we can. It has one objective, which is to reduce the amount of conflict, the amount of confusion we have in our brains about the things we believe. It is not about what we feel. It is about our beliefs, the ideas we have, and the values we have. So it actually may feel awful to believe we are at fault and to lose self-worth and to feel that we're the cause of our own abuse and perhaps even deserve it sometimes. But this feeling makes sense to us. It feels awful, but we come to realize and believe that it's true. We are causing abuse. The fact that it feels awful has very little to do with how we understand the cause of it. And so because we believe that it's our fault, we accept the rationalization from our partner and from the reality we're in, and we feel awful about that, it creates in us a commitment to work even harder to avoid it, and also removes our ability to recognize that this is being done to us, not by us, to ourselves. So actually, what's bizarre is that we feel awful that we're causing the abuse, and we believe we're causing the abuse. So actually, these two things match. We arrive at a situation where our beliefs and our feelings are in sync with each other, because we should feel awful that we're causing the abuse that we're believing we're causing. And once we arrive in a situation where these two match, that is a huge problem for us in these relationships, because there is no conflict inside us. And so we stop looking for other answers and other beliefs and other explanations. We think we are to blame. This is confirmed by our partner, who tells us we're to blame. This is confirmed by how we feel, feeling bad for the pain we're causing. And so our beliefs, the situation we're in and the information we get from that, and the way we feel, they all confirm each other. They're all in line. And once everything's confirmed on a psychological level, we don't need to spend any energy looking for a different version of the truth. And in these relationships, there isn't a Jimmy Savile situation where new information is going to come, the newspaper is going to appear and tell us. It's just us in a relationship and the story our partner tells us. And we see evidence, a bit like we've seen in the Jimmy Savile story, and the way that people wake up in the stories of people who leave abusers. There are sometimes experiences that throw new information in that cannot be avoided or rationalized away. And the most common I hear is the experience of a child or an unborn child, and the parent realizing the risk to that child. Suddenly, the narrative that holds us in abuse, which is that it's our fault, cannot be applied to this child. It cannot be a child's fault that they are being harmed or even their life is at risk. And this can be saving for people. It's a very unfortunate situation that we need to get to be saved, but it can be saving. It forces us to have a conflict again. Cognitive dissonance reappears, but this time we don't accept the rationalization. Our abuser cannot give us a rationalization for why a child should be hurt. And eventually we're forced to take one of the two routes, because the brain will force us to take one of the two routes, which is to either rationalize this or to avoid it. Of course, some people do rationalize. They find ways of thinking about how they can protect that child or how the child might save the relationship. But lots of people don't. They don't believe that. They can't accept that this child might be hurt, and they leave the relationship. Because leaving an abusive relationship is, in fact, the only way to avoid the story that we are to blame and to enter a new story in which we realize children are not to blame. And so we have to take them away. And as I've described, and I have many, many more examples, people who do this can still leave thinking they were to blame and their partner in some ways was a great partner, but their need to protect their child reigns high and holds them away. Whether you're still in this relationship or you've left, it's really helpful and important to understand this process of cognitive dissonance. If you're still in the relationship, the effect will be very powerful, and we're highly likely to be sucked back into the wrong belief. We can start to wake up and start to feel this tension and perhaps question whether the relationship should be left. But remembering that we're in a situation where the greatest amount of pressure on us is that we should stay. And the only way to stay is to re-rationalize, it's to forget all of these insights. And so when we have this realization, we must work hard with it. We must reflect. And if it feels very true and we're able to connect with an idea that we're abused, we must immediately be planning our exit as quickly and safely as possible. And once out of these relationships, and for those of you who are out for a long time or even a short time, the effects of cognitive dissonance, the effect of holding that belief, is very difficult to shake off. We can find that some of the other processes that helped us to maintain that view, the fear, obligation, guilt, and shame, the outcoming addictive cycle, can be pulling us back. And while we're being pulled back, we start to rationalize again. Because how do we make sense of being pulled back to somebody we've recognized is bad? We can't avoid that, certainly how it feels, although we'll be discussing exactly how you do avoid that. But in those moments, we start to feel this pull back. It feels overwhelming. Staying away feels incredibly difficult. So we rationalize. We go back to changing our views. We start thinking of the love we've lost, the pain we're causing, and this great version of our partner who's sometimes there and we hope could be there more, and may even be promising us now that they will be there. And in the longer term, we see a number of outcomes. We see us rationalizing in the same way about our past, or we see us rationalizing about new partners or friends that are similarly exploitative and difficult people in our lives. We find all sorts of rationalizations. They're not as bad as they seem, and not as bad as my ex. I prefer some difficulty to being alone. My children need a second parent. I need to experience love again. These can all be risky rationalizations that take us back into difficult relationships. Or on the flip side, some people fix themselves in an avoidance situation. Having come to understand that they've experienced abuse and maybe having some insight that that was a bad thing done to them, but not always. Sometimes people just think they always attract the wrong people and it's about them. For many people, the outcome is to choose to avoid relationships for the long term, potentially for the rest of their lives, which feels like a way to create space to feel self-worth and to build a better future. But it has to be recognized for what it is, which is a coping response. These are all coping responses. And as we move forwards, we want to be able to make choices about what we'd like in our lives. Because if we believed we can generate self-worth, and then we could access people in our lives that fed that self-worth, complemented our lives, and lived with us as supportive and loving partners, we may choose that option as opposed to more pain or more isolation. So moving forwards, I've put some prompts at the bottom of this section to support reflection about cognitive dissonance, and I suggest people spend time thinking about it. And the lens we're trying to think about our past with is how this can help us to understand our own story. How understanding that it is common for humans to believe things that are not true, even in the most extreme of circumstances, and often more so if we experience great pressure and repeated traumas, how this can be liberating for us. It can enable us to be kind to ourselves, forgiving to ourselves, and to become curious about what we do next. How do we heal and how do we change out of this sort of experience? How do we become free and loving, recognizing that we will need to shake off beliefs and ideas that were formed in our past as a coping response, but are really not helpful to us anymore. So I suggest a significant pause here to do some journaling work before we move on to the next and last coping system we'll be introducing, which is dissociation.